Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org. Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Love when we can start the show off with the bang with a great guest. Joining me now, head football coach for the UNC Bears, Coach Ed McCaffrey. Coach, always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend. I know you're a busy guy with spring football, so we appreciate your time today.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on the show, Brady. My pleasure.
Hey, are you getting tired, though, with all the spring football with wind? Like, my goodness, man, it's been windy like the last 2 weeks for you guys.
Yeah, I'm hoping every game is windy this year. We will be well prepared. I tell you what, Mother Nature has not been cooperating. I've lived in Colorado since 1995, and I never remember a spring like this. It's like every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, 30 to 40 mile per hour gusts. And, I mean, last couple of days have been cold, too, so our guys aren't complaining, but I think the coaches are complaining probably more than the players. It's been a little bit of a grind. You know, you're done with practice after 2.5-3 hours, and you feel like you got run over by a truck. But we're getting some really good work in. Our guys are working hard. We're real happy with where we are right now.
Yeah, and I always love this time, too, Coach, because it's spring ball, so it's the preview before we get into fall, right? I mean, before we break and get a chance to see what these guys are about. So kind of talk to us a little bit. I know you kind of had a more of a soft-type scrimmage last week where maybe not a full-on everybody's going at it, but more or less opportunities for you to take a look at your positions and really fine-tune some stuff this spring.
Yeah, I mean, I could go through the whole team with you. We have a lot of guys that are returning. We have some new faces in town as well. And so, I mean, going right down the list, we'll start on the offensive side of the ball. It really helps having Dylan here. Dylan wasn't here last spring, obviously our starting quarterback all last year. You know, 6'5", 222-pound quarterback who runs a 4.5. He's legit, you know, former four-star kid coming out of high school. I don't talk about him as much because he's my kid, and I'm afraid people will think that's the only reason I'm talking about it. But I promise you, if anybody the Big Sky had him as their quarterback, they'd be talking about him every single day. We're really lucky to have him. And wow, what a difference it's made having him here in the spring. He's, you know, way ahead of where he was last year when he showed up for the fall and we went into it. And then Jacob Sermon, man, what a surprise he is. Another four-star quarterback. When's the last time we had two four-star quarterbacks on UNC's football team? And we've had some pretty good quarterbacks here over the years. But Sermon is smart. He's hardworking, fit in right with our team, and he's got a cannon for an arm. So we have more talent at the quarterback position, more depth at the cornerback position than I bet you the school's ever had in the history of the school. Two great quarterbacks. And we brought in some tight ends on offense. Alec Pell out from CU, Kyle Helbig from CSU. These guys are legit. And Max Pierce has really taken a step forward as a tight end slash H-back for us. At receiver, one of our goals was to, you know, we got to catch the football a little bit better, and we need some more playmakers. And Cassidy Woods was a stud for us last year. We're asking Noah Ford to step up this year and perform. Ty Arrington will run through a brick wall for you just as soon as I look at you. But Travis Graham came in from Texas State, and he's added some speed and some playmaking ability at the wide receiver position. Maybe the surprise of the camp at receiver has been Zane Zinicola. He's a guy that wanted to play baseball. He's a dual sport guy. I said, look, if you show me you're really serious about football, maybe one day, you know, you play two sports. So we think you can start for us as our slot receiver. And he's just crushed it. He's really played well. Impressed with him. Zach Angelillo, another leader on the team, crushing it at fullback. So things are shaping up. You know, we lost our entire starting offensive line from last year, largely due to graduation and the fact that we had a bunch of six-year seniors who got some FBS offers, and I'm rooting for those guys. If I was a high school coach and I coached some guys that got FBS offers, I'd be really excited for them. So for some of these guys that are 24, 26 years old, that have this opportunity for the first time in their life. I take a little pride in the fact that we coached them, developed them, put them on the field, and now they have that opportunity. But we have some pretty good players coming back, and those guys knew that as well. Ethan Kramer hasn't participated in the spring, but he is really good, and he's physically put together right now, put on some muscle. We expect him to start for us. Glenn Bernard has stepped up as a leader in the interior, can play guard or center. A lot of competition going on over there at right tackle. Jackson Hoops has played well. Austin Lawrence is showing a lot of ability. Guys on the interior, Coco and Isaias and Frank, are really performing well. But there's competition there. Brady Odom as well, Carson Oliver. They're all stepping it up. Young guy James Bechard. But Wyatt Blake's coming in from Northwestern. We expect him to improve that O-line, and we expect to have some depth there. So we're getting some good experience up front. A lot of reps from a lot of guys. And on offense as well as defense, there's competition going on all over the field.
And I know that's what you want to see, right, at this point. Obviously, you want guys to rise to the occasion and take jobs, but not necessarily in the spring. This is what you want, right, Coach? You want to see that competition really taking hold, and maybe you do have a lot of undecided stuff going in the fall as far as some of these positions, but you, in some cases, wouldn't you want to see that? You want to see these guys hungry and battling against each other every single day?
Yeah, there's much more skill development going on. There's much more individual drills that we're doing during practice. There's hope. There's opportunity. And this year, we didn't have to manufacture the number of guys we had graduating and that left the program. Holy cow, these guys are licking their chops to get on the field and compete. It's the most energy I've ever seen on a football team. Just guys loving football, believing in each other, bouncing around the field, awfully excited. The attitude, the effort has been incredible on this team this spring. And we're also not shut down for the first time since I've been here. We actually are allowed to practice and be in person. And I think that's made a big difference. It's almost like, you know, we graduated, now we get to actually go back to playing football again. But we've talked about getting a little more discipline and not just being passionate, not just playing with emotion, but executing and tightening the screws on some of the things that we've been doing on both sides of the ball over the last couple of weeks. So that's what we're looking for with these last 2 weeks. We got the energy. We have the passion. We're showing up and working hard, and now let's just tighten screws a little bit, be a little more disciplined, do a little bit better job of executing.
We're talking to UNC head coach Ed McCaffrey, and you know it's so exciting, too, just to hear even you say it. Hey, this is our kind of – we feel like we're really getting back to normal here. The last couple of years, your last couple of years with the Bears as the head coach, I mean, it has been crazy, and I know everybody's been going through stuff, but for you, Coach, specifically, I mean, making that jump to Division I college football, and it was like – bam, COVID happened. So you and I have talked about that at great length. But now, as you said, you kind of feel like, all right, we've settled down here. We can really take this and get this full look here without a lot of interruptions, so to speak, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, it's like, hey, welcome to Greeley. And by the way, go home for the next 100 days. You're
right.
Not allowed on campus. And then, you know, COVID hits, and then there was obviously a coaching change and the hangover from that. And then, you know, for the first time in the history of the NCAA, they made this one-time transfer rule, so anybody can jump in the portal. And then, you know, which means you have twice as many fifth- and sixth-year seniors. And then guess what? There's going to be NIL rules, too, now. You can make money off your name, image, and likeness. And it kind of turned into the wild, wild west. But the biggest challenge for us was not being able to be in person for the course of 2 years. I mean, we weren't allowed in our locker room, in the training room, in the equipment room. We had to stagger. Our old weight room, even when we were allowed in it, we had to work out in groups of three or four because it wasn't big enough to fit all of our players. So not being able to be in person and meet in person, it really did hurt. It did suck. Like, it wasn't fun for me or anyone else when we were kicked off campus or sick or in quarantine. It was pretty miserable. But even last year, we had 256 missed days during our season because of sickness and quarantine and COVID. And it was pretty brutal. But during the course of that time, you know, we accomplished a lot. One of the things I wanted to do was improve our facilities. And I talked to our president, Andy Feinstein, and our athletic director, Darren Dunn. And I said, look, do you believe in the football program? Do you want to win here? Do you want to build a winning program? Because if you do, there's a lot of work to be done. And it starts with building. And if we build it, they will come. And one of the guys I talked to was John Schmidt. John and Angela are friends of ours for a long time. Our kids went to school together, and before I even took the job, I could hear the passion in his voice about UNC football, and he was working on funding the Empower Center, and he and a lot of other wonderful donors started to work on funding our Empower Center, our new weight room, which is state-of-the-art, which was desperately needed so we could at least work our team out at the same time rather than staggering into three or four different groups just for football. That meant 5 a.m. workouts, 6 a.m. workouts, because they have to share it with all the other sports teams. So that's one of the biggest capital improvements in the history of the school, even more so than the actual stadium that was built a long time ago. And then in addition to that, I wanted a turf field for our players to play on. We called it the Turf Wars. You know, we have to get rid of that old grass that was undulating and was the worst field in the Big Sky and replace it with a state-of-the-art turf field, which is also a donor-funded project, which would be the second biggest one in school history. And, you know, we've talked about the lights that we want to put up next season. That would be the third biggest. So, you know, in 2.5 years, we have the three biggest privately funded capital improvements in school history. That's somehow that gets swept under the carpet. These are major deals. You know how much money and how much time and energy and how many different people have to work together to get that done. All of our engineers at the school, our facilities at the school, our donors, Darren, Andy, like everybody has to get involved to pull off these types of projects this quickly. Projects that have been talked about for 20 years are finally getting done. And I'm really proud of that. And we're going to continue to build our facility so that we show our players that we care and so that we can put them in a position to have success.
Yeah, Coach, and you're outlining, again, joining us is Coach Ed McCaffrey, the workout center, the turf field. I want to get into the lights a little bit with you as well. But, you know, going into this, when you first took the job, when you looked at all of these, I mean, was that part of your vision from day one to say, all right, we got to get this? Or was that kind of a process throughout as you were going along and this saying, okay, no, that's priority number one? Or did you kind of already have that list day one when you took the job?
No, I already had that list day one. I wouldn't have taken the job if I didn't believe that our president and our athletic director, if I didn't believe that Andy and Darren would work with me to help build a winning program here at UNC. I don't like losing. I don't know if you know that about me, but I don't like losing, and I'm not used to losing. And in the last several years, I haven't had to experience it. That's the first time I've ever had a losing season as a coach. And I believed we could have won last year. We dealt with the most ridiculous adversity I think any team could ever deal with, including, by the way, losing lives of coaches. Zach Hoftower, may he rest in peace. Alicia Armour, like why Coach Mike Armour? And even Vincent Jackson, arguably the best player in school history, passed away. I mean, we were dealing with some major stuff. But, you know, we have a few simple rules. Show up, work hard, have fun, right? We keep it simple. We couldn't show up. I mean, physically and literally, we're not allowed to show up. We had a fall season canceled, a spring season canceled. We were banned from campus multiple times, shut down multiple times. And so we had a hard time showing up. We couldn't do it. Guys weren't at practice. Guys weren't getting reps. Guys, we weren't allowed to do team building activities. Like we did deal with some crazy adversity, maybe more so than a lot of other teams or people. And then with all the NIL and transfer portal rules that added to it, we still won 3 games. I thought we could have won, I thought we had a team to win 7 or 8 games last year, and we didn't do it. The biggest challenge in the beginning of the season, and by the way, I'm going to give a shout-out to Coach Shanahan, because I know you and I talked about that off-air. Coach Mike Shanahan belongs in the Hall of Fame. And the reason I'm bringing him up now is because he was such an important influence on my life as a player and as a coach. You know, as a player, he gave me a chance. He believed in me, and I got to sit in the locker room and in meeting rooms with a team that went on to win two Super Bowls back-to-back. And I learned about, you know, how to put a playbook together, how to put a practice plan together, how to put practice scripts together, how to break down video, how to put together scouting reports. I was part of a leadership council, which is something that I formed here. And he gave me a lot of advice as a player. And my son Max, who's ROC, played for Kyle as well in San Francisco. And so the Shanahan family has been a big influence in my life. And he helped me understand how important it is to have a president and athletic director who are going to believe in you. They're going to help you build the program because you can't do it alone. He also told me we weren't going to have a chance before the season because we only had about 50% of our players vaccinated. And that ended up being true. He's like, you're not going to have a chance. How are you going to do it? And I'm like, I don't know. I think we can still do it. And I was hoping and praying that we didn't have as many players sick in quarantine as we did, but we did. And so that was our biggest challenge last year. You know what? No excuse. This is the year of no excuses. And this is the year of just, you know, not talking about it and just doing it. So I feel that these last 3 weeks. I feel that guys are showing up. We're not quarantined. We're not kicked off campus. Guys are working their tails off and competing. And most importantly, they're having fun. I mean, these guys have each other's back, bouncing around, having a good time. So I mentioned him because when I think about my vision and mission before I took the job, it was really influenced by him. And he had been part of programs, even at the collegiate level, that turned programs around from worst to best. And that's what I'm trying to do. You know, I'm trying to help lead this program to a winning season, to the first playoff berth in the history of the school at the D1 level, which is a big part of the reason I want lights in our stadium, because we're not technically eligible to host a playoff game until we get lights in our stadium. And, you know, I've lived in Colorado since 1995. This is where I want to live. This is where at least I have lived and raised our kids. This is our home, and this means a lot to me, man. I mean, I remember seeing the picture of you at training camp. It was hilarious. You're just a little kid. You made me feel old, but I lived in these dorms. I practiced on these fields. I, like, high-fived the fans that sat up on the field.
Gave me a high five. I got the picture, yeah. Man. That was a great moment right there.
This is part of my life, man. I mean, I got 2 feet dug in. Like, I'm going to make this happen. I can't do it myself, but I have a huge vision and mission, and I believe if everyone gets behind me, I'm talking donors, alumni, you know, Andy and Darren, the people in the building. We still have a long way to go, but we can do this if everyone chips in and everyone believes in the vision and the mission. It can be done and will be done.
Coach McCaffrey joining us. And Coach, and I want to speak on a couple of things here, too, because, and I talked about this yesterday a little bit, and I know you don't like to, you don't talk about some of these things enough, and you and I've talked about it, the workout center, the turf field, what your goal is for the lights. I sat down with you a while ago, and you kind of just laid out your vision, and I was blown away in an absolute positive way as far as what your goals were, what you plan to do, not just the X's and O's, not just the football players, and I know, obviously, you're passionate about your team and your players, but the vision to grow football in an area that, let's just face it, we haven't seen. I haven't seen since I've been up here. I mean, I know UNC has a history in the 90s. Of course, you mentioned Vincent Jackson. There's a history there. But for a very long time, football has just been a very far down afterthought. And I know that's your dream. Your vision is to build up this stadium, build up the lights, get the turf field. And obviously, you've accomplished some of those goals so far. And you know, I outlined this yesterday. I said, these things don't happen if Coach McCaffrey is not the coach of the UNC Bears. And I think that's worth pointing out.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you recognizing that, Brady. I mean, maybe someone else could do it, but I promise you no one's going to work harder than I am to build a championship program here in Greeley and at Northern Colorado. It really means a lot to me. It's kind of like my life mission right now. And it's not going to be easy. I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, we've had 16 years of not being a playoff team, 16 yeah. years of not having a winning record in the Big Sky. I'm talking not one. I mean, there's a long history here of failure, honestly. And so, you know, in the 90s, we were D2. We won a couple right. national championships. I was here practicing on the field. There was so much energy and excitement. There's a lot of great people on that team, guys I ended up playing with, guys like Frank Wainwright, who I played with. And you know, I just really was a good time here, and the city was alive, and more people were going to games, and it was a lot of fun. But since 2006, you know, we took a D2 program and moved them up to the best conference in FCS football. And we had five nationally ranked teams, and one made it to the national championship last year. There was like three FBS wins in this conference, and we had the hardest schedule in the conference. We played all of those teams, and if we want to compete at that level, right, we need to improve our facilities. We need to improve our staffing. We need to improve the nutrition of our players. We need more fans in the stands. We need everybody getting excited, donors and alumni involved. Like, we need everyone involved to do this. It is not going to be easy, but it can be done. Right now, we're selling our program on our people. Our coaching staff, which I introduced the other day at our press conference, you guys did a great job of covering it, by the way. Our coaching staff is second to none to develop players and help them become the best they can be, and about caring for our players. And the opportunity to get on the field. So we get a lot of portal players that come from FBS schools because, for whatever reason, it didn't work out there. They didn't get on the field as much as they wanted to, and they know that we have great coaches and can develop them and give them an opportunity to get on the field and show what they could do. And so that's really what we're selling ourselves on now. But also, you know, I can't sit here and talk about a mission and vision if I'm not doing anything about it. So we can't talk about an Empower Center and not build it. We can't talk about the turf field and not put it in. We can't talk about lights. We can't just keep talking about how much we care about our athletes and our programs. We have to actually go out and do it. And doing it that execution part, which is also important on the football field, right? That's the part that's been happening, but needs to continue to happen for us to build a championship program.
Coach, just kind of last thoughts for you here. We're getting texters, and I've had a couple of messages asking about the lights thing. And they just kind of want to know how realistic is that for, you know, like when could fans expect that? You know, I know that's the next goal. That's the next thing on the list. But in the back of your mind, what are those expectations of when that could happen?
Nottingham at night, baby.
Just picture it.
Our first playoff game. Pick Nottingham at night. I saw someone tweet at that the other day, and I'm taking it. I'm stealing it from them. Nottingham at night.
Hey, let's hashtag that, man. Let's make that a thing.
Nottingham at night. Let's do it, Brady. You run with it, man. You'll be on the air a lot more than I will. But just picture our first ever playoff game, the first playoff game we ever play under the lights at Nottingham Field. How bumping will those stands be for that? That will be incredible. So here's the deal. Just like last year when we put the turf field in, I went to a friend of mine, Brady, and I said, look, I believe in this school. I believe in this program. This is my mission. This is my vision. The first place I want to spend our money is on this turf field because our players play on the turf field. I'd like to have bucket seats for everyone and better concessions in the stands too, but our players play on the turf field, and we had the worst field in the conference. I said, I want to replace this turf field. This is where I want to spend our money. I had one single donor donated the whole thing, and he did it, and I'm so thankful to him. You know, the Empower Center was John and Angela Schmidt led it, but there was, you know, six or eight wonderful families and donors that participated in that. That was in the works for 15 years. We finally got it done, and we really closed the doors the first year I was here. That was the second capital improvement. Now the lights, it's fully funded, meaning, you know, we're not raising tuition. No one at the school has to pay for it. The city doesn't have to pay for it. The money is already there. So my point in announcing it is that, one, if we do not put lights in our stadium, we will never host a playoff game in the Big Sky. And there's been discussions in the Big Sky meetings about having minimum standards for the schools in the Big Sky Conference, meaning locker room standards and meaning lights at your stadium. So these are preliminary discussions, but at some point, if we don't have lights, it's possible that we won't be welcome in the Big Sky if we don't improve our facilities. So that's something all the other schools are doing. We need to do it as well. But to get the light project done, the funding's done. That part of it's done. Now it requires a lot of engineers that are going to have to work a lot of hours to get it done by the start of the season. It's going to take a lot of cooperation, a lot of appraisals, a lot of reviews, a lot of inspections, and it's a big project, right? It's lights in the stadium and in the parking lot, and you will have to meet with the neighborhoods, like the good people over there in the Alls neighborhood. I'm living right by them, by the way, and we'll meet with them and make sure they're welcome and invited to the games and talk to them about, you know, it's not just football. We're only going to have two or three games a year under the lights. I mean, it's only two or three nights the whole year for football. But, you know, if we're going to have lights in the stadium, I'm sure it'll be used for other things as well. All of the sports teams will love it. We could have events there. And so we do want to honor and respect the people in the neighborhood who may be concerned about lighting or noise, and we'll have to work with them. I can't wait to meet all of them. There's not that many of them. It's a small neighborhood. I looked for a house over there. I couldn't find one because the real estate market is so hot over there. But I would love to meet all of them and sit down and talk with them and find out what do we need to do to reach an agreement, because I think lights in our stadium is better for everyone. I think it's better for our football team, our school. I think it's better for real estate values. And if we're going to stay and be competitive in the Big Sky and at the Division I level, it's something we absolutely have to do.
Yeah, well, I know fans agree. I mean, people I've talked to, that's a big deal. Of course, the turf field, a big deal. Finishing up that workout center, no doubt a big deal. Coach, I'm coming out today. Unless it's too, if it's windy, it blows me away. It blows me away. But I'm looking forward to coming out and checking out some practice today.
Well, thank you. You know, all our defensive guys are going to be mad at me because I didn't cover defense as much today. How much time do we have? Can I get some of these guys in quick?
Get them in, Coach. Fire off.
Okay, here's the defense. We lost Jordan Napke our first game of the season. He was in on like maybe four tackles in the first six plays, and he got hurt versus CU. He's not participating in the spring, but he should come back. He was a team captain for us before the season, and he should be an impact player when healthy at free safety. The surprise, I think, of the camp has been Dustin Johnson. He came over from CU a year ago, and he has really elevated his game. So he's having a great spring for us. Urien Hudson again, he's just a smart, disciplined guy. You know, I had a conversation with him about a week and a half ago about how seriously he took football, and he responded with a pick six and has had an incredible couple of weeks. He's a really good player working hard. We need Urien to play well. A couple of new guys, Tywan Harris, Tramell Harrell has stepped in at cornerback.
That's a position. We have so much competition going on at quarterback. Cam Murray has really had a great camp at cornerback, and we're bringing in, six DBs. We're bringing in Tyzel Lewis and Alfred Smith and Rocco and Frankie and Lamarion Curry and Noah Mangum. I mean, all these guys to compete. So there's incredible competition going on in the secondary, but right now it's Tywan Harris, Cam Murray, and Tramell Harrell. Dylan Emery's back, was nursing a sore back, but he's doing better. And so we're getting better in that department. A lot of competition going on. In terms of the front, the guy that stepped up for me is Austin Williams. He got way overweight last year, and I was worried about how much he loved football. He's one of our hardest workers. He's 6'5". He's down to probably 350. He's down to 350, I think. And he's just an anchor on that D-line. Joe Golden, all big skies back. Brooks Talkington, a leader on our team, is back. David Hogue, don't even need to talk about him, All-American. R.J. Potts is crushing it. After that first five, it's up for grabs in terms of competition for playing time and the rotation. A lot of young guys that have to step up. Vincent King, Christian Wren's been a new addition. He's playing really well at outside backer. Tofa Wilson, Keenan Guthrie's got a motor that won't stop. Ryan Capasso, he was way down the depth chart. He stepped it up. Nick Norris has stepped it up. A lot of good stuff happening on the defense. Middle linebackers up for grabs. Jacob Stanton and Elijah Anderson Taylor are competing. Elijah Wade physically looks like an NFL linebacker. Kevon Lakes looks like an NFL linebacker. They got the bodies, but they need to get the defense down. Elias Rantisi's been adding some depth to that position. Tyson Lambert's grinding. Surprise of the camp at the linebacker position is Peyton Polson. I don't know why he's a surprise. I coached him in high school, played against him in Little League, and he came over here this year, put on like 15 pounds of muscle, and has been absolutely crushing it. But we also have two guys coming in, Jaden Latua and Tama Tuatelli, from Navy, and these guys, they've been watching practices, and I know that they're really excited to get on the field and start playing. I didn't even get into some of the young guys, guy like Marcus Howard from Aurora Central, who's 6'5", 215, 20 pounds. I'm anxious to see if him and Ezra Ekubon, you know, what they show up looking like coming out of high school and whether they can compete. But a lot of competition, a lot of energy, really excited about how things are going in the spring, and can't wait for some of our new guys to get here.
Yeah, and I know we're going to be out there on the 23rd, too, Coach, for the spring game as well. So we're excited about that. And, again, check out practice today. So just appreciate your time as always, Coach. I'm pumped up for you. I'm ready to see what this team can do. And I'm looking forward to next season already.
Oh, me too. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you out of practice, man. Bring a jacket. That wind's picking up again.
I'm going to bring it out there. I'll be out there for sure. Coach, we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, Brady.
All right. There's Coach Ed McCaffrey. Got to take a quick break there. Listen, Coach is passionate about that program. If you don't hear passion in what just happened there, then I don't know what you were listening to. Because he listed every player just off the top of his head like that. Pretty sweet. I mean, pretty awesome. I'll be out there today and check it out. 33 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Had a chance to stop by Rev Chiropractic today. Dr. Tyler Terry taking care of me. And like I said, guys, I've been there for a year and a half now, and I'm going to keep going because I don't have any back pain, and I don't want it to come back. So I keep going, and when I do sleep wrong or something happens, I'm working in the backyard, my wife forces me to, then maybe I got a little creak in my neck. My neck's starting to kill me, my back. I make sure I go to Rev Chiropractic on a regular basis. I love working with those guys. Check them out if you have that back pain, you know, shoulder pain, what have you. They can help you out. That's Rev Chiropractic. They're off Highway 34 off 35th Avenue, if I could spit that out. There's a Home Depot right around there. All right, so our Method Flow products poll question of the day is available at theholeshow.com. Here's one for Rams fans. Would you rather see Trey McBride get drafted in the first round or fall to the Broncos in the second? Trey McBride. As a CSU, like, you want the best for your school, the best representation. Don't you? I mean, to help recruits, because you're recruiting all over the country, not just Colorado. The answer is probably go first round. But if you're like a Colorado guy and you just want to see your favorites at CSU every single Sunday now playing for the Broncos, then you might say fall to the Broncos in the second round. Now, I don't think the Broncos are going to trade up in the second and the first to get Trey McBride, especially if Mel Kiper's saying McBride's probably a late second rounder. And I don't believe that. I think he's still first rounder. But, man, I'm far off there, and I don't want to be that far off from Mel Kiper. He does this for a living. So, I mean, am I really 30 to 33 draft picks off from Mel Kiper? That's a scary place to be. So I think he's a first rounder. Again, it's just the need of a tight end. He's first round talent is the need of a tight end. First round needy at this point. Just a little north of 70% say they'd rather him go in the first round. And 29% saying, all right, I want him to fall to the Broncos. I don't care. It'd be awesome. I'm kind of torn. It'd be better for CSU. But personally, seeing Trey McBride with Russell Wilson, yeah, I'm in for that. All right, so we got Kevin Lytle coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Moved him to the second hour today. Talk to us about some CSU information. I do want to talk about the using of the Hughes Stadium, what they're going to be doing there. CSU using the sale of Hughes Stadium land to fund football coach buyouts. Norvell even chips in big. So I want to talk about that. That was actually Miles Blumhardt's article on the Coloradoan. I want to catch up with Kevin about that later on in the program. We also got to talk about my big story. We'll hit that when coming back. But that's an interesting one, too. Open for debate. Baker Mayfield's in the news. Is Jamal Murray going to come back? Michael Malone, I feel like he's kind of being cryptic about this. And also the Colorado Avalanche. Wow. 9-3. Season high for goals. And it's been one of the best regulars. It's been the best regular season they've ever had. Is it going to result in a Stanley Cup? 41 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
.12:46 the time. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. If you missed any portion of our great, gigantic chat with Coach Ed McCaffrey, you're going to want to check that out. Like I said, dude, listen to that interview. Tell me he's not passionate about what he's doing here. I want to hear it. Go ahead. Argue with me. Because you heard it, Jades. Hooligans, you heard it. He went off about every single player. And you know what? He's told me this before. He's like, I feel weird like bragging up Dylan McCaffrey. Why? He's got to be the biggest transfer in the history of UNC. Am I wrong on that? At least since D1. I know he didn't have a great year last year. Still the best transfer they've ever... You tell me 4 years ago that you're getting a former four-star guy that went to Michigan coming to UNC. I wouldn't have believed it. I mean, time's going to tell ultimately how this team's going to do, but they are all buying in. And this is what you see a lot. I'm reminding you. I know there was that article in the Tribune. Most of that kind of came out, the deep stuff anyway, came out to be much to do about nothing. Not to say there weren't other flaws, perhaps, with certain players being upset and disgruntled, but I guarantee you, as much as I've talked about Jay Norvell for CSU, you don't think that there's been a couple of players that were disgruntled already that left? There are guys entered the transfer portal. It happens. One coach's personality is not one size fits all. That's just not how it works. Very passionate about his guys. So I'm going to pop out there today. It probably will be fun and windy out there, too. Jays, I pick a great day to go out to practice. All right, let's hit what do you think? Let's hit the big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. All right. I gotta talk about this yesterday. The Dodgers beat the Twins 7-0 yesterday. Clayton Kershaw was pulled after 7 perfect innings. He was pulled. I know this was like happening right around the show, but I cannot believe. I mean, you and I were talking about this Jaden Post show. You pulled Clayton Kershaw. You lose the opportunity to have a perfect game here. My goodness, I can't believe this. Perfect innings, seven innings. I know it's early and all that, but don't you go for it right now? Here's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts on the decision to pull Clayton Kershaw after seven.
And I felt that the stuff was starting to tick down, talking to Austin and Clayton himself. And so, you know, I think there's a point where you just got to decide. I got to decide to what end. And I'm as big a fan as anyone and a fan of Clayton. And to see a battery of him and Austin throw a perfect game or a no-hitter, I'm all in. But again, to what end or to what cost? And so every decision I make is for the best interest of the player, their health, and the ball club. Because there's a lot of people that, you know, are cheering for the Dodgers, not only just for today and Clayton to throw a no-hitter, but for the Dodgers to win the World Series.
Jade, do you have the how many did he throw? How many pitches had he thrown at that point? Do you know?
He was at 81.
Come on, right? I mean, I get it. It's early. You want to make sure he's good for the long run. Does that screw him up that much? I mean, they were up 3-0 at that point. Don't you leave him in? You got the perfect game going. You scored two runs in the first. You scored a run in the second. You're up 3-0. You end up scoring three runs in the eighth, and you run away with this one ultimately. Is there any? My first reason was, okay, it's early. You don't want to risk injury. But Robert says, like, his stuff was winding down. It's like, then let it wind down. Let it wind down. And if he gives up a home run, go for it. I know you're worried about the game. I do get that side of it. But still, I think a lot of fans are pretty upset with that one. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. We got a short break coming up. We'll wrap up the first hour. Talking about Baker Mayfield. He's frustrated. I got Warriors Nuggets stuff that we're going to get into. Michael Malone, is he setting up the Warriors? Is it going to be a surprise, or should we not get our hopes up for Jamal? Also, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, will join me. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Of my time in Cleveland, of what I tried to give to that place.
Right.
And true Clevelanders and true Browns fans know that. I feel disrespected, 100%, because I was told one thing and they completely did another. That's what I'm in the middle of right now. And you know what? Okay, I got my taste of it because I've had four different head coaches in 4 years, a bunch of different coordinators. I've had, talk about the highs? They always come back.
Mm-hmm. There's Baker Mayfield. Basically saying he feels disrespected. And I'm not saying that that's not warranted. He probably does, and he probably was. But isn't this interesting, an interesting sports world that we're in? I mean, what did you think about Baker Mayfield's little one-on-one there that he did on the YNK podcast? Players are, and he's under contract, mind you, with the Browns. He is a Brown. Talking about, hey, I'd like to go to Seattle maybe. That would be a good spot. Probably the most likely option. Don't be taking Drew Locke's job. Leave Drew Locke alone, okay? He's trying to weather all these storms and remain a starting quarterback. We don't need your nonsense, Baker. This is the main takeaway for me, and again, I think he was disrespected. Probably, I bet he was told, you know what, we're not going after Deshaun. And then, bam, we are going after Deshaun. No, we're not. Yeah, we are. That's a tough thing. I get it. It is a business, though, at the end of the day. We say that a million times. But we are in a day and age where players under contract with their team can just get on a podcast and, I mean, talk about how disrespected they were. You know who did that last year? Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers can do it, then everybody's going to do it. on one side of this, I'm intrigued. It was a story, right? I mean, it's something I'm talking about. It's interesting. And I eat it up. I'm not saying I don't like what Baker did. It is kind of LeBron-esque, right? LeBron, obviously different with the decision and all that, but you got Baker sitting on a couch next to his dog who's just like chilling, saying, I feel disrespected and I probably like to go to Seattle. This is an interesting time that we're in. Players take to Twitter, they take to podcasts, they take to videos and talk about their frustrations. Aaron Rodgers essentially got up in front of all of the Packers media, therefore all over television, and outlined everything wrong with the Packers organization over the last 10-plus years. And was still, and look what just happened, signed a monster deal. They ain't going anywhere. This is the day and age we're in, and I find it fascinating. Mayfield, of course, did request a trade back on March 17th. But we'll see what they're going to do as far as trading him and what that looks like. But you think Baker Mayfield, I mean, he'll be starting somewhere, right? I mean, if he goes to Seattle, he'll start over Drew Locke. If I'm Seattle, all kidding aside, I'm probably making that call. I'm probably trying to get that deal done. I'm guessing Baker is still a starter. It's going to be a prove-it type year for him next year. But what a situation. And again, if you're Cleveland, you can't really go back, but you need to. You need to work it out because you don't know if Deshaun Watson's going to play next year. And Baker's still a starting quarterback that's serviceable. Interesting. Kevin Lytle coming up to start the second hour. We'll talk some Colorado State next. Don't go anywhere. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy.